Besser Hashem Yisbohu begin Perek Esrim, the 20th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Mechirin, the laws of sales and the Sefer Kinyan, book of acquisitions. We continue a related vein from the previous Perek regarding different claims, and here it's regarding the claims of both the buyer and the seller as it applies to the sold object. As Rambam begins halacha off regarding what happens if they continue with the sale without ever having agreed upon definitively what is the price of the item. Hamavakish liknas mechaver mekach. So someone is seeking to buy an object from his friend. Moichrim of the seller says, look, but Masai Mani Moichalach, I'm going to sell it to you for 200. Balakoichim of the buyer says, no, in the Kaina Elabamana, I'm only paying 100 for it. Balak Zelabesa, each one goes to his own home. Vachkech Neskab, so again they gather back again together. And then the buyer goes and draws the object without specifying. So it depends. If it's the seller who goes and petitions the buyer, says, come on, let's do this. But not like if he gives him the object, so then he's only going to give 100 because he is petitioning the buyer. So the buyer is the one that the seller is agreeing to him. Whereas, but if it's the buyer, he comes back and he goes, you know, and he just takes the object without specifying, then he has to give 200. He's the one that has the lower hand, and the one of the greater position of power is the one who is being petitioned, which is the seller. Lacha beis. What if someone buys an object and he doesn't know who he bought it from? Someone buys an object from amongst five people. And each one of them is claiming from him and saying, I'm the one that was the owner of that object that you bought. And he doesn't know which one is from the five that he bought it from. All he does is he puts down the price of the object that he bought between those five sellers and he removes himself. And then the money is going to remain there until one of them, until they admit who is the really one who sold it. Until Aliyah never comes and tells us who it was. Now, if the buyer is a pious person, he gives the money to each and every one of those sellers to fulfill his heavenly obligation because ultimately he didn't pay it to the person. So though they're being deceptive, but there is one person who rightfully he owns it, owes it to, and therefore he would give it to every single one. Let's say, the same case, if he buys an object from one of five people, but this time, but kafir buyer, then he denies owing it, and Benish Baal Shekhar even swears falsely, but then Basa Chuba he repents. Now he wants to pay it back. Each one of them is claiming and saying, I'm the one that you denied you owed it to me, and you're the one that swore to me. Voyme says, I don't know. So in this case, he actually has to pay back to every single one, not just a chassid. Because he sinned in that process. Now when he wants to do tshuva, he would have to pay back to each and every one. Halacha Dalad, regarding the trustworthiness of the owner of the sold object to say who did he sell it to. Neman bala mekech lema, the owner of the sold object is believed to say, lazeh mecharti, but lazeh loy mecharti. I sold it to this person, not to that person. Meaning when there's two people that are contesting about who bought the object, and each one is saying that the seller wanted to sell it to me, so we're talking about where both of them gave them money. It's just that one gave it to him willingly, one against his will. So he's believed to say who it is that he sold it to. Now, Amosai, but Ram qualifies this. When do we say this? This man shemekach yutim techaz yodai is when he, the seller, is still producing the sold object, and therefore he's believed from Amigui was if he wanted, he could say, I didn't sell it, because he still has it. So he can say who it is that he sold it to. But if the seller doesn't have the sold object anymore, so then essentially the seller is just but one witness. Therefore his testimony regarding this case is the same as any other one person. Because he has no relevancy regarding his testimony because he already gave the sold object. So the figure, therefore, in other words, since his whole trustworthiness of the seller is either because of migui, if he's still holding on to it, or because of an eid echad, if he doesn't have it anymore. So therefore, the seller could testify for the merit of that individual to take his portion without an oath, and the second person would have a biblical oath to say. And because of that, if there is no testimony of the seller, for example, let's say he doesn't know, so then both of them will have to take a rabbinic oath, what's called a shvua from the Mishnah, which has a certain more severity than other rabbinic oaths. So, im notla dam mishnaim. So, let's say the seller took money from both of them. V'notla mecha medayta mecha bakarcha, which is the case they were describing. He took from one of them consensually, and one of them against his will. Now, v'lo yodim imi notla medayta imi notla bakarcha. And he doesn't remember who was, you're the one, he's selling to him, both of them threw money at him. He doesn't know which one he willingly, which was against his will. So Ben Choyah make Rabbi Yehuda whether the sold object is still in his hand, Ben Choyah Shnei Mitefesim, whether those two competing people are grabbing on that object, in Kanei Disklal. There's no testimony here at all, because he doesn't know who it is that he sold it to. So therefore, each one of them has to swear with a rabbinic institution, Minikitas Chayfetz, which is a higher level of rabbinic oath, holding on to a sanctified object. So each one of them then split it with their oaths, half of this sold object and half of the monies. Halacha, hey, what happens if there's claims on the sold object? Someone claims on his friend, he says, you sold this to me. Mizami says, look, I didn't sell it. Or, yeah, I sold the building, but he didn't pay me yet. Or the buyer is claiming, and he says, he already gave the money, but I didn't draw it yet. Or I did draw it, but I didn't see that I had this blemish. But the seller says to him, no, I thought, look, I'll let you know, but you knew about this. One of them says, what do you mean? We had a certain stipulation, conditions that weren't met. The other one says, there was no conditions here. So regarding all these claims and things similar to this, the halacha is always in the Talmudic dictum. If someone's trying to extract from the other one, Allah v'raya on him is the onus of the proof, and the one who's the muhzik doesn't have to prove anything. Halacha above. Now let's say there was no proof. It said you want to collect from the other one, you got to bring the proof. Let's say he couldn't bring any proof. So nishba ha-kayfer, shemivakshon lahitz miyadei, so the denier, the one that the other party is trying to extract from him, he has to swear at least Shavuos Hesed as a rabbinic oath. Now this is lower than that which we described of the Nikitas Chayvetz of the Shavuos HaMishnah of the earlier Takanos Chacham. Now v'mhoidi b'miktzas ha'tayna. Now if he admits the partial of the claim of the other party, or similarly if there's one witness who's saying like the other party, just not two because you need two to extract, then nishba Shavuos HaTayna. Then he makes a biblical oath k'shar ha'tan is kun like all other claims, which is known as the halacha of mhoidi b'miktzas. Of when you partially admit to the claim of the other party, biblically required an oath. Halacha Zayin, if the buyer claims that he paid up already. So, Amal Chendani, someone says to a storekeeper, Tenli bedinner payers, give me for this dinner produce. But not some light, and he gives him the produce. Bahareha payers menachem b'shus ram, and the produce is placed in the public domain. Bachendani tabeas a dinner. Now, the storekeeper says, well, pay me the money. The homeowner says, what do you mean? Asalacha adomin. I give you the money, and you put it into your purse. So the buyer swears, like the rabbinic institution, holding onto a holy object, which we said this is what's called the Shavuos HaMishnah, like all those who swear to collect, because on some level, the lekeach, the buyer is the muchzik, and the chemini wants to extract the money. So to the payers are his, because the chemini himself agrees that he sold it to the lekeach, because the payers are not really in his rishus, so therefore the lekeach is nishba v'noitel. It's not his. It's in the public domain. He has to swear, and he takes them, and then v'noitel payers. Then he takes the produce from the street, because at least it's out of the domain of the seller. But in mishus because they're in the public domain. Because ve'ilohi b'shus lekeach had it been already in the possession of the buyer, hoy nishba shavuos heses v'nifta. All he would have to swear would not be the shavuos hamishnah, but in the kitas chayfetz. He would only have to say a lower rabbinic oath and then be off the hook. Now, and on the other extreme, of let's say it would be still in the storekeeper's property, then Nishba Heses, and he would swear a rabbinic oath, be sure to pay the rest of its lie, and then the produce would stay with him. And because whoever's the muhzik is the other one that's to bring the raya, and he could be let off the hook by making a Shavuos Heses. Now, Halacha Ches continues regarding if the seller claims that he already gave the merchandise. So therefore, but says the Rambam, let's say the buyer gave the money to the storekeeper. Now he's coming to take the payers, the produce that's laying there waiting for him in the public domain. And the storekeeper says to him, whoa, this money that you give me now, this is payment for produce that I already gave you, and I already delivered it to your house. And Paris Elam Nach B'Shus Ram, but these produce that's laying here in the public domain, Lemachad Malach, I didn't sell that to you. So Re'achen V'ni Nishbam Nikitas Chayfetz Shakach Hayadav. So the storekeeper has to swear, holding a holy object, that this was the case, because again the payers are not in his property, so it is a little more of a severe type of a shvuah. U'Max the Paris L'Bachemani, and then he brings his produce back into the store. Sharei L'Hoydul L'Shemachar L'Mem, because he didn't admit that he ever sold him at all. Now, Ve'ilu Hali Bachanizik, had it still been in the store, Hainish Bashwas Hesus, Kamish Ram, then he would only have to make a lower level rabbinic oath, as we explained. But that is a public domain. So it's somewhat of like taking it back, so it's like a Nishba Benaitel, so he has to make a higher level with a Nikita Scheb is holding a holy object. Halacha Tez, Bechena Din. Same halacha applies, Benaitel Din al Shulchani, little mois. Not buying produce from a storekeeper, but rather he gave money to a money changer to exchange it for other coins. So bismancha mois tziburim shusaram. So at the time when the money are piled up in the public domain, in other words, that the money changer had given the money to the buyer, and this is he lifted up and put into the Rosh Hashanah. So it's similar to that case when it's in the Rosh Hashanah. So if the money changer agrees that he had sold these coins, but he just said, I didn't get my money yet. And so the buyer swears by holding all the objects that he did give the money. But they can take those exchange currency that's in the street. But let's say he doesn't admit that he sold it to him. So even though he agrees that he took from the dinner now, but he claims that this money I'm taking from him now, that's monies for other currency that I already delivered it to his house. Nothing to do with this money in the Rosh Hashanah. So then the money changer swears by holding the object, and he brings the monies back into his store. Halacha Yud. Regarding claims on the time of the sale. So someone is doing an exchange. One guy's cow and the other one's donkey. And the donkey gave birth. So someone sold his maidservant and it gave birth. This one's saying, it gave birth before it was sold, so therefore it's mine, the seller's. The Zemi says, no, they gave birth afterwards already when I bought it already, so therefore the child, the offspring is mine. Even if the seller says any day, I don't know, which generally a bari b'shema, one claim being definite, the other one not sure, sometimes that's stronger. No, it doesn't make a difference. It's on the buyer to bring proof, because he was a muchzik, the meicher. He's in presumptive that it was in his possession until we know otherwise, so he has to prove that it was already sold by the time before the offspring came out. Now, and this is even if the cow is in some swamp, and the maidservant is somewhere on the side of the road, which that's not even the possession of the seller, doesn't make a difference. The Cheskes HaMoich is going to be in the presumptive state of the seller, because he's the Cheskes Marakama, the presumptive of the original owner. Again, until the buyer brings proof that it was already in his possession. Well, if it doesn't bring proof, so the seller swears by holding a holy object, Avlat HaPar, regarding the child of the cow, where, because on some level, it's a moedim mixtus. It's partially admitting because the seller agrees that the cow belongs to the buyer, but he's denying regarding the child. And since the cow is in the swamp, it's not like halach, which is like on some level it's denying the whole thing of this, but admitting whole to this. No, because it's not really in any possession of like the buyer. So therefore, he would have to swear a moedim mixtus. But regarding the offspring of the maidservant, in that case, in Nishbele Heses, that's not a biblical oath of Maidmixes. They don't have to make a rabbinic oath. Why? Because there's no biblical oath of swearing by holding a holy object, not on slaves, which this is the case of Shevcha, and not on property, like explain the laws of the litigants in Perik HaLacha Alf. HaLacha Yiraf. This one says, any idea. It says, I don't know. Any idea. The other one says, I also don't know. And because no one was there at the time when they gave birth, and neither is the maidservant or the animal any one of their properties, so then they split it because no one knows. This one says, it gave birth on my property. Another one silent. So the one who's claiming in the child, he's the one that merits because he's the one that's saying that definite claim, and the other one is being quiet, which is like shtika koido. Halachid beis. Regarding when there's a claim on the sold object. So someone had two slaves, a minor and an adult. So two fields, one big, one small. The buyer is saying, I bought the bigger field. And the seller is saying, no, you bought the small one. So it's on the buyer to bring the proof, or that the seller swears a rabbinic oath that he only sold the small one again because he's the muchzik. The seller is the one who has it in his possession. Let's say the buyer says, I bought the bigger one. And the seller is quiet. So then, like we said before, in Halacha Yirav, so that's what's called a bari b'shema, or he's being quiet, he's admitting. So the buyer merits it. The mama Michael now the cell says any idea, that's what's called the Shema. He says, well, I don't know. So he's not being quiet, which is like I does. And then the buyer has to bring proof. Or at least the seller swears that I don't know, and then he only gets a smaller one because again he has not brought the owner's proof, and there's no he's not adding to that by being quiet. He's saying I don't know. Halachi doubt. Regarding when there's doubts that arise in the merchandise. So komi shenil hazavik b'shusay. Anyone that the doubt develops in his property, olav lo habiraya. The owner's proof is on him. Ketzah houses Ram illustrates. Let's say they're doing this bartering, switching the cow for the donkey. Now the owner of the donkey, who he's now doing mashicha on the par, he's getting the cow and he's going to give his donkey to that owner of the cow. Now, but the owner of the cow didn't get a chance to do mashicha on the donkey, and the donkey already died. So it's the onus of the proof is on the owner of the donkey to bring proof that the donkey was alive at the time when they did mashicha on the par, because that's actually when the kinyan happens. When one does mashicha, that's the exchange happens. But since it's in his property and it's dead now, so the onus of proof is on him, anything like that, that the onus of proof is on the one that the subject happens in his rishos. Machat hanimtza ba'avi besakaisis. If a needle is found in the thickness of the walls of the Beis HaKaisis, which that is one of the stomachs of the ruminant, that it has the form of cups, of goblets, and around its edge, it's two doublings that are attached one with the other, and two walls, and because of that, the flesh is thick. That's called the thickness of the Beis HaKaisis, the reticulum, the second stomach of the animal. Now, the needle that's found in the walls of that stomach is a hole through and through, which would make the animal into a trefa, which is a moral defect, which is obviously not kosher. So, in the mtala karadam, if you find that a little bit of blood when you shecht and you open it up, so you know that this obviously was a trefa, had a moral defect before it was slaughtered. But let's say therefore if there's a scab on that wound, oh, but you do it. Nitrifah shleshim kerim shchita. Obviously, this had to have been 3 days before shchita. So, therefore, if the buyer slaughtered within 3 days of when he bought it, so it's clear that it was a trefa at the time of the sale, and therefore it's going to be mekach tois. Lo higlid piyamaka, meaning in contrast, when you find a little bit of blood in it, you know that it actually happened right before. So, therefore, if it was bought 3 days ago, so then it wasn't a trefa then. Now, lo higlid piyamaka. So that's what saying. If let's say the opening of the wound does not have a scab. So there was suffix, so it was not clear when it happened. Bala tabach lovirai, never done the butcher, didn't prove shekumikichasa in the trefa that it became a trefa before he bought it. Should be shusin, old suffix, like we said, because in his properties where the suffix is happening over here. Bimlohevi right, if it doesn't make a proof, yishalmadam lamecha, then he has to pay the monies to the seller, even if he didn't pay up yet, like we explained, because the owner's proof is on him and he can't not prove that definitively.